Welcome to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with Colette Marie Steffen, inspiring shift on Transformation Talk Radio, gracing the airways every Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific since 2013. And we're live on Facebook, providing nuggets of wisdom, tales from the vector, and energetic upgrades to lift you, shift you, and empower you to ride the wave of infinite potential. Do you have a problem? It is never what you think it is. Logical questions require creative solutions. Colette is a leading expert in the field of quantum energetic transformation. Learn to identify the usual energetic suspects and major accomplices to unveil another layer preventing you from living your authentic desires. You are a blank canvas. You may as well paint a rainbow. We'd love to hear from you. Call 1-800-930-2819.
In the groove. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Welcome to another Christmas Mass with Caleb Matthews of Encompassed by Dreams. That's me. Thanks, of course, to Transformation Talk Radio for having me on today, Dr. Pat, and of course, my friend Colette Mary Steffen. This is a great honor. Been marked this on my calendar ever since I knew I was going to be doing this talk again with you. We've got a lot to unpack today, lots to talk about, lots of light to bring. Hence, you can see light is the theme over my shoulder. I've got the lamp stands, the eight lamps, which we're going to talk about just as the piecing into the menorah and the light of the Maccabees, keepers of the light, a Christmas story like we have never heard or delved into before. So that's what we're going to get into. We're going to have one break in the middle. And then as you've known, for those of you who have been tuning in on air over the months and the few years with Caleb Matthews, there's lots of content to go into. And I only take usually one break. So get cozy, get comfortable, get into a posture of just really, really fuzzies and cozies and wrapped up with your cup of tea or sitting on your couch with your Christmas blanket, putting your feet up in front of the fire. This is that time of the year. We are in the cold snap of December. Yesterday, last night, was the winter solstice. So it was the shortest day of the year, which means, we are now on the roundabout turn on the track and field, to use the running analogy, to seeing the sun for the longest day, which will be way down into June 21st. But as I like to say, yesterday, as beautiful of a day it was, as far as light-wise, it was the lowest possible point on the human calendar every year, because we get to welcome the light in a brighter and greater way in the days moving forward. So get comfortable, get cozy wherever you are, wherever it's safe to do so. If you're driving, then get cozy in your mind as you're focusing on the road, but as you're focusing on my voice. For those who are listening to the archives later on, welcome. To those who listen to this in the future, in the days and the years to come, welcome. For those who are present with me right now, welcome. For those who are tuning in from all different countries and nations of the world right now, welcome. This holiday brings us together. This special holiday of celebrating the light of the world, Christ, brings us together for this Christmas Mass. But as I promised in my introduction, as I promised in my description of this conversation, this is going to be quite a different Christmas story that you probably, most of you, have never heard of before. So perhaps this year has been challenging. It's been difficult. It's been really exceptionally hard. It has been. No bones about it. No question about it. It has been a very difficult year for all of us. For many of us, it might be even more difficult. But my prayer is that through this conversation, through this time today, through our talk, that your heart will be enlightened. It'll be full of light, full of hope, full of joy, full of happiness, because that's what the topic of this show is. The truth is funny. So just a truth that will just bring a smile to our faces and a smile to your face and laugh and just think that, God is really good things for me. So we're going to come together. We're coming together right now and uniting our hearts as we hear this conversation, this topic that's going to bring light and hope. And my prayer is transformation, hence the Transformation Talk Radio. So let us pray as we open up the Christmas Mass. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Christ, the light of the world you sent to be a light in the darkness, and that light still shines today. We invite heaven's light, the light of eternity, the flame of Yah, to illumine our hearts and our minds and our eyes and our ears, our spirit, the eyes of our heart, the windows of our soul and our bodies, to the flame of Yahweh, to the Father of lights. May the eyes of our heart and understanding be opened for this conversation that we have today. May our light come alive as we hear your truth, Spirit of the living God. Thank you for coming as the light of the world. Thank you for speaking to us like you did your ancestors, the Maccabees, about keeping the true light and the true flame alive. In Jesus' name, Christ's name, amen. So we're going to get into the conversation. We're going to get into the topic here, the historical timeline of the Maccabees versus the birth of Jesus Christ. So these are on quite different ends of the spectrum of the timeline. So the Maccabees were a people in Israel that were around during AD 167 to AD 160. And the Maccabees were a special group of Jews who led an uprising against the Seleucid Empire, so the Greeks, King Antiochus III of Greece. So the Greek Empire was the prominent empire of the world in that day and age. They were the world power, the world superpower, the dominant power, and Israel and the Jews were underneath the foot of that captivity, that Greek occupation. 167 to 160 was the timeline of the Maccabean rebellion against the Greeks. So perhaps some of you have heard of the Maccabees, as I said before, what they were, who they were, and what they did. Why does that matter at Christmas time? So why does that matter for us right now? You might be thinking, Caleb, why does that matter? Well, this is the intertestament period of the Maccabees between the Old Testament before Christ and the New Testament, which is during and after Christ. There is a 400-year gap between the voice of the last prophets of the desert fathers and the desert mothers in Israel, the last prophetic voices who spoke about the things of God and the things of the Creator, a 400-year gap where there was silence, no prophetic voices, no revelation. It was called the intertestament period. And so at the latter end of that period, we have the Maccabees in AD 167 to 160, so roughly about 160 years before the birth of Christ. So we had that period with the Maccabees there. So the Greek Empire was that empire that preceded Rome. Greek was an offshoot of the kingdoms of Alexander the Great and divided across the ancient world. The Maccabees required total allegiance to the Greek gods, Zeus, Apollo, Aphrodite, Athena. There was a dysfunction. There was a real dysfunction. There was a war between the Greeks and the Romans at that time. There was a struggle. There was a wrestling match. The opposing Greek powers of the day were demanding total allegiance, mind, body, soul, and spirit. There was a real fascination with the worship of the mind and also the worship of the body, sex worship, just all these different orgies and the different unclean things. And you have to understand, as a Jew, the Jews pride themselves, they did, and they still do, with keeping their holy place, their tabernacle, sacred and pure and holy, keeping the light in that place alive and burning. And that it was just considered an abomination. It was considered an unclean circumstance to expose oneself in that place, to set up altars to other gods, to offer incense to any other god but Yahweh. The Jews really fought for this. They fought for their right to worship. They would worship no other gods. At first, the Greek Empire, when they came, they allowed other gods. They allowed other forms of worship. They did not disrupt the Israel's and the Jews' method of worship. But they eventually did. Eventually, they came to the place where they said, no, you can no longer offer incense and you can no longer worship your God alone. You must offer worship to King Antiochus. You must worship the Greek gods in the Greek way. And that's where the clash came between the followers of Yahweh, the followers of the flame, the followers of the light, and the followers of Greece. The Jews worship Yahweh and Him alone. They came up against the Seleucid Empire, the Syrian Empire. They're forcing the Jews to pay tribute with their worship and with their taxes. They're trying to impose rules upon them and mandates by the King Antiochus III of Greece, the tyrannical ruler. He began to martyr and murder the Jews for their worship because they refused to comply with a corrupt dictator and empire and their gods. The empire tried to steal the light and their joy. So you can see where I'm going with this. There's many, many different parallels because in that story of the Maccabees, as we're heading down this path, I'm going to get there, Caleb. So just hold on with me. Just like in the days of Jesus, when the Roman Empire was around with King Agrippa, the grip of the Roman Empire, there was taxes and they demanded, Nero, the whole world be taxed. Caesar Augustus did in the days of Caesar Augustus, and Rome was taxing Israel and the Jews. There was captivity. There was those mandates. And Christ came in the same way that the Maccabees before Christ, they were under also a empire of tyrannical rule and mandates as well. There is this radical remnant of Jews, as I'm talking about the Maccabean resistance. A resistance began to form because they refused to have their light stolen, refused to allow their light to be stolen. Like you and I, we have to refuse our light to be stolen in the day and the age that we live in right now. So making this relevant to our conversations, our topics today, anything that steals our light, anything that steals our joy with interacting with the Creator, with Christ, the light of the world, the light of the world, we must stand against it like the Maccabees did in the spirit of the Maccabees. So the remnant of radical Jews began to oppose this Greek empire, the Seleucids, and a resistance began to form through the Maccabees. And the meaning of the name Maccabees in Hebrew is, who is like you, O God? That's weighty. Who is like you, O God? And the Maccabees decided they were not going to comply. So they brought their collective light together and their hearts were united. They were brought light into history in a dark time. They banded together to create light in a time of great darkness and chaos. So how can we do that today in our world? So this is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm presenting to you. In every one of my conversations and talks, we always talk about history, but then we're always crossing across the principalizing bridge to bring that into the here and now. So let me ask you that again. So I'm going to say that slowly. How can we bring that today in our world? How do we bring our light together to shine and stand in the darkness? For the Maccabees, they decided to fight on to the death because they had generational perspective advantage, GPA. That's a doozy. Say that again. Generational perspective advantage, GPA. Most of you probably never heard of that frame of that terminology or even heard that phrase even spoken, but it's there. Generational perspective advantage. What does that mean? The Maccabees were looking at their day, their time, but they're also looking down the corridor of their future for their ancestors and for their children's children, the generations to come, like their father Abraham, you know, had many sons, father Abraham, like that old classic hymn. They were looking beyond their world, like Abraham, their ancestor. They were looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. They were looking up into the heavens, into the stars, as God says, look up into the stars, Abraham, and count them. So shall your descendants be. That's their father, Abraham, that had that promise from God, had generational perspective advantage, like their ancestor, their ancient ancestor, Abraham. He was commanded by God to look up into the heavens, into the sky, and to count them thousands of years before. So why is this important to remember? Why is this important for us to hold on to? We need to hope that there is a better day coming in the days coming. We need to hope that for the future of our families, like the Maccabees did. We do as well in 2021. As things look dark, as things have been tough, as mandates and imposing lockdowns and all these restrictions and just things continue to gnaw and eat away at our joy, and really, as the world looks like a dark and bleak place in many places across the world, it's different for many of us of what's going on. We must look forward to the future of hope, keeping the light shining in the darkness like the Maccabees did as the keepers of the light. They were in that intertestament period.
Recording stopped.
Where they stepped into that light. They stepped into that light and they stepped into the gap where there is no prophets, no kings, no direction, no hope except for their connection to Yahweh. Their compass was a spiritual compass because God's name is revealed to humanity as he presented himself at the burning bush. So I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of generations, to Moses at the burning bush in the wilderness. That was the revelation of God's name and character and nature. I Am was revealed far before the Maccabees, far before Jesus, far before anything in the Promised Land, far before the New Testament, far before the early church, far before any of these things. And the first name that God revealed himself to his people was to Moses, who was on the back 40, who was in exile, who was in the wilderness, who had run from Egypt. And that was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The great I Am was revealed, the God of generations, the generational perspective advantage to Moses in the wilderness. And the Maccabees were in that time. They were holding on to the promise of I Am in that intertestament period where there's no light, no prophets, no kings, no direction, no hope, except for their connection to Yahweh. And that's really, I think we're coming full circle here into this time, into this period that we live in right now, ladies and gentlemen. You look at the world today, there's so much sense of lack of direction. There's chaos, there's confusion. And really, it's only thus us who hold on to our connection with the light of God, the light of Christ, our higher power, holding on to the promise of Yahweh, the promise of Yah. So the Maccabees light, the menorah, the story of the burning oil and the lamps is what I'm going to get into now. So the Maccabees, as I said, in 167 to 160, they marked their victory over the Greeks. A small army of Maccabees of a few thousand against tens of thousands of Greeks. It was a mismatch. It definitely was a mismatch on the outward appearance. But, you know, God throughout history, God in the heavens, Christ has not fought battles for humanity based on numbers, but he's fought them based on the power of his might, the power of the might of heaven, the power of the might of God. So there is a few thousand Maccabees against many tens of thousands of Greeks. Their lamps did not go out, but miraculously stayed lit in battle, but also in the temple. So when the Maccabees won their victory over the Seleucids, over King Antiochus, over the tyrannical rule, they won back their tabernacle. They won back their holy place, because at that time, the tabernacle had Greek idols and Greek statues and also Greek priests. And it had been defiled by the Greeks because of their occupation of Israel and Jerusalem. But when the Maccabees won the victory over the Greeks, they took that place. They took that place in the tabernacle, and they set up the lights, as you can see with me here, the lamps, the lights. And they only had enough oil because, you know, they had fought the battle and they didn't have a lot of supplies. They only had enough oil to last for a day or two, a few days. But as they lit the lamps, as their ancestors did thousands of years before in the wilderness, as their ancestors did years and years before in the wilderness, walking around, keeping the lamps lit like the Levites did in the holy place in the tabernacle, they did so again. They kept their lamps lit in the tabernacle in their time. And a supernatural endurance, a supernatural long-lasting ability was imparted to them by the Creator, by Yahweh, by God, and kept the light burning. So the lamps continued to burn as they would, as they did in the wilderness, as they did in their time. The lamps continued to burn, continued to last, continued to be ignited. And that festival, the miracle of the 8 days, where the lights lasted for 8 days, that's why on the menorah there's eight candles, because of recognizing the 8 days of miracle, the 8 days of miraculous supernatural longevity of the lights on the menorah in the tabernacle with the priests, recognizes the festival of lights or Hanukkah. And that festival of lights, that beginning of the miracle of the light, began historically documented on December the 25th. You're right. December the 25th. And actually, according to history, this is fact. December the 25th is when the Maccabees and the miracle of the light of the menorah began in the tabernacle. Wow, what an amazing thing. What an amazing thing how the Maccabees, the story of the Maccabees and the lights, is parallel with the Christmas story of what we are doing of celebrating Jesus coming to the earth, Christ, the light of the world, peace on earth, goodwill towards men, of Jesus coming into Bethlehem in a manger as the star and the light of the world. So the Maccabees had won. They had won their victory against the Greeks. They had won their ability and the right to be able to worship freely in the way that they chose, and that's important. They were given their human dignity to be able to worship and move freely in the way that they chose, because God gave every single one of us. He gave the Maccabees, he gave the Jews, he gave everyone in history and us the ability and free will built into our DNA, and that's what we have, free will. What a story of the Maccabees. So the Maccabees, they began this tradition, and that's why we light the menorah. We light the lights during the Festival of Lights during this holiday season of the miracle of the light and the oil to continue it to be burning. So perhaps you're wondering why I'm speaking so far mostly of a Jewish holiday during a Christmas holiday, which is a Christian holiday. I always like to keep things unconventional, as you know, when I come on air, because the truth is funny that way, right? So both holidays are historical. Both Hanukkah, December 25th, and Christmas, even though we celebrate on December 25th and during the holiday seasons. But the timelines are much different for those of us that maybe aren't aware of those timelines. While December 25th was with the Maccabees and the Festival of Lights and Hanukkah, the Star of Bethlehem shining in that period to guide the Magi and guide the shepherds watching their flock by night and gathering around Mary and Joseph and the baby being born in Bethlehem was not on December the 21st in actuality, on the actual day. More historians and scholars more say that that happened in the spring or the summertime, but not on December the 25th itself. We still celebrate that on December the 25th during the holiday season, but historically, most scholars and historians will believe and agree, no matter what, you know, even religion, whether it's Christianity, Islam, or Judaism, they agree that Jesus was born in the spring or the summertime. So we have a Jewish calendar according to history, and we have a Gregorian Roman Catholic Christian calendar, which is not historical fact for December 25th. However, this time right now is about worshiping and honoring the birth of Christ in the light of the world. So behind me, you see the menorah, the eight candles, to remember the eight consecutive days, as we spoke about, the oil did not run out when the Maccabees actually had none to fill it. God was with them. He was with them. And have you ever seen the light of the stars in midday? No, we must experience the light in the darkness. Only true light gives its place and its prominence when things are really dark. It's easy to shine. It's easy to be bright and happy and joyful and full of zest and hope for life and just hopeful for the present and the future when things are bright. When everyone's bright, there's not really a distinguishing flame or distinguishing candles, distinguishing ignition. But when things are dark, as they are right now in many places in the world, when things are looking bleak, are depressing, or just are a battle to get through, maybe it's been really tough this week for you over the last couple of weeks. Maybe you're struggling with your job or just struggling just with all these different regulations that are keepingly imposed upon us on a week-by-week basis by the powers that be and earthly governments, or you're just like, man, we're 2 years into this. Like, when's this going to end? What's going on here? Or maybe you lost your job, or you're in between work, or you've got family issues, or things are happening at home where chaos is all around. And just this year may have been great for you. And if it's great for you, I'm happy. But if it's been hard and difficult for many, many of us, then I want to bring and propose to you this message of the Maccabees, this light, because if they experience this great darkness and they had to shine the darkness as lights, so can we in our time in 2021. So we look back at the timeline. We've got 5 minutes and we're going to go into break. I know we've covered a lot. So if you're tracking with me so far, we're going to have 5 minutes and then we're going to go into one of our main break and then we're going to keep going afterwards. So back to the timeline. After the Maccabees came Jesus Christ, some 160 years later, the promised Messiah. So we've talked about the Maccabees. We've talked about the Keepers of the Light. We've talked about the flame. We've talked about them keeping that tradition in the tabernacle of their fathers, just like their ancestor Abraham looked at the stars of the heavens and those lights were shining. They continued that promise on into keeping the worship of Yahweh restored in the tabernacle. They kept the lights burning in the tabernacle like their forefathers and foremothers did in the desert when they came out of Egypt, as the Levites did in the tent of meeting in the holy place. And that's where I want to linger. That's where we should linger. We should linger in the holy place, the tabernacle of the Most High, where the light, where Jesus, the light of the world is, where the light of the menorah is, the eight lamps. Eight represents new beginnings. Eight is really us and the seven spirits of God. There's eight. That's why there's eight for a reason. There's us, and then there's the seven spirits of God. God has just many different facets and functions and qualities to his spirit. But that is what's important, is battling to protect that holy place, battling to protect that. So we're going to go into our break here, actually. I think what we're going to do now is we're going to go into our break now for a few minutes, because this is a perfect segue into bringing the story of the Maccabees and of Hanukkah and of the Festival of Lights, December 25th, to bring it up parallel to the Christmas story and how that applies and how we can feed off of each other and just bounce that off of one another, how they're interconnected and how they're interconnected with the empires of the day. King Antiochus of Greece, which was the imposing empire of the Maccabees, and King Agrippa, the grip of Rome during the days of the Jews in the birth of Jesus. So we're going to go to a break, grab some tea, grab some coffee if you don't already have it, get a refill, walk around, do some stretching, and I will see you, we will see you in a few minutes. So thanks for sticking with me, and we're going to take a short break. See you in a few minutes.
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day, and we love to hear from you. Leave comments and questions for the host to address live, on the air, and get to know the faces behind the voices you love. Just go to Facebook and search for Transformation Talk Radio.
Yeah, yippee-skippy to that, baby.
Life can be demanding, and you may feel like you're constantly on the go, but sometimes our wheels are spinning and we're too focused on making them turn to notice we're stuck in the mud. Tune into The Pause with me, Ellen Wyoming Deloy, every second and fourth Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio. Learn how to stop, reflect, and start moving forward with intention. And if you're really looking to jumpstart your personal development, schedule a free consultation with me at ellenwyomingdeloy.com.
Healing has a ripple effect. One person's healing affects everyone around them. This is where the power of sharing our stories can be so important. Tune in to Playing on the Edge Radio with Megan Edge each month on Transformation Talk Radio, as Megan provides you with ways of sustaining radical and powerful changes in your life. Enact the power of radical change. To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Do you wish you could wake up feeling motivated, inspired, and fully connected to your higher self so that you make better, more intentional decisions throughout the day? Tune into Coffee with the Universe with me, Laura Goldstein, every third Tuesday of the month at 2 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit www.cwtu.net for show details.
Are you constantly trying to figure out who you are, where you belong, and what your purpose is? Then let Adrian Cobb guide you to the core of your soul blueprint. Knowing your soul blueprint helps you to figure out your life in a way that works best for you on your own terms. You'll walk away feeling genuinely seen, heard, and appreciated for the gift that you truly are in the universe. To register for her Soul Blueprint online course and Soul Blueprint reading, visit mywildmagic.com. That is mywildmagic.com.
Tune into Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce every first and third Tuesday of the month at noon Pacific, 3 o'clock Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. Join Susan and her guests as they share the stories that shift our souls about radical transformations, courageous breakthroughs, and life lessons. Three Things I've Learned with Susan Dolce. For more information, go to transformationtalkradio.com or visit Susan's website at susandolce.com.
Excellent. All right. Welcome back. This is great. So we've spoken about the Maccabees and Keepers of the Light, and just really the main bulk of our conversation of that story of Festival of Lights, Hanukkah, December 25th. And now we're talking about that parallel path of the holiday that we celebrate, as we know, as Christmas, along that path of parallel to Hanukkah. So to give a brief side note on the history lesson of Christmas really was a holiday that was brought into place on December 25th, even though the birth of Christ was not December 25th, by Emperor Constantine. So who was the emperor of Rome when Christianity was legalized and everything became very political in that regard, when church and state became intermeshed and intertwined. Constantine really didn't like the Jews and the having the primary place and the primary focus of their worship. And it seems to have been and still is a great fight for the people of Israel and the Jews to be able to keep their worship and have their exclusive worship. Because when Constantine came around, he was like, well, we want to bring Christianity onto the timeline around the same time so we can have our own celebration during this time and really make it a Christian holiday, which was really not in the cards. As I said before, the birth of Christ was actually in the spring, in the summer, but that doesn't matter. We still celebrate Jesus, the Christ, the light of the world during this time. But just to let you know that Emperor Constantine actually was the one, and the Romans were the one in that empire were to bring the celebration of Christmas during that time period of December 25th. It wasn't actually something that began in the Bible for December 25th. So we look back into another light and star entering the conversation. So 160 years after the Maccabees, we have Jesus, the light of the world. We have the Star of David, the Star of Bethlehem, and the wise men of the East. We know them as the Magi, but history says that they were Gentiles known as Zoroastrianists. Woohoo, that's a mouthful. Zoroastrianists who worship the god Ahura Mazda. Ooh, what does Ahura Mazda mean? The I Am. It goes right back into the burning bush. That goes right back into when God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So these men of the East, even though they weren't Jews necessarily, they were well familiar with the vibe and the frequency of the I Am. They didn't know what manifestation or form it was going to take or took yet, but they had promises because they were studying and they were scholars of the signs in the heavens. They were raised from a young age to interpret the times and the seasons in the heavenly bodies. And that's what I love to do. I'm on a life quest of that as being a dream interpretation consultant. And I'm always encouraging my audience to interpret the signs in the heavens and the night season and the stars in the heavens. Dream interpretation and analysis of God speaking through dreams and visions and also heavenly encounters. But this is what the Zoroastrianists were really experts in their field. They were interpreting the stars and the signs in the heavens and really looking for that star in the east for the promised Messiah. So they were not Jews, but they read the times and the seasons, and they looked at what was the patterns of the stars, the patterns of the celestial beings in the heavens. And they were very similar to a tribe in the Old Testament that were called the Sons of Issachar. They're one of the 12 tribes of Israel that came up out of Egypt. And the Sons of Issachar were blessed because they knew the times and seasons. That was their function. That was their skill. Some other tribes have skill in war, skill in council, skill in administration, skill in, you know, the tribe of Levi, where the Levites, they were skill in, you know, as far as being priests before the Lord that were in the tabernacle. But the tribe of Issachar were the tribe that knew the times and the seasons. How many want to sign up for that boat? I do. I want Christ, the light of the world, to shine upon my life and upon our lives, as knowing the times and the seasons of the heavenlies, like the Zoroastrianists who saw the star rising in the east and they followed it. They followed it all the way to Bethlehem. And so it wasn't just a few day journey like we see in the cartoons, like we see in the, you know, the Christmas specials or things like that on TV that are very Americanized and very Westernized. That, oh, look, the Magi, they set out for a weekend trip and they got there at the end and they worshiped right in time with the shepherds that came in their fields by night. In reality, the shepherds came by their fields, from the fields by their flock by night into the manger and the stable in a very quick time. But the Zoroastrianists, they took months to travel from, I think it's modern day Iraq or Syria, those areas, Iraq or Iran, all the way to Israel. That's on foot, that's a long journey. So we have the Maccabees that we talked about before, and we have the Jews. So the Maccabees, the Jews, the Maccabees, and the Zoroastrianists, the Gentiles. So here we understand the foreshadowing of the Gentiles and the Jews together seeking the light. And we know this because when Jesus was alive as an adult, as a human being, he said, there will be neither Greek nor Jew. Jesus said that, and Paul confirmed that, you know, Paul the apostle, but there's neither Greek nor Jew in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus' whole life ministry was about that, but being born in Bethlehem, being born in the stable, being born in, you know, the Christ, the light of the world, stepped down to darkness. Like this is Christmas Mass. And this is what the Zoroastrianists were seeking from the east as they came into Bethlehem. So think of this beautiful Christmas story of who else saw the signs in the heavens that were declaring the gateway of heaven. The shepherds, as we said, watching their flock by night, angels singing, angels we have heard on high. So the angels were also looking into the birth of Christ. All these classical songs that we sing about every Christmas, angels we have heard on high, and silent night, O holy night, the night when Christ was born. This is what the Maccabees were looking for before Jesus. This is what they were looking for. This is exactly what they were looking for. To keep their oil and their lamps burning in the temple, in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, in the Exodus, as the Jews were coming up out of Egypt. They were keeping that light burning. That light was Christ, the light of the world, the great I am. That's what this is all about. If you haven't figured it out by now, if we haven't figured it out by now, we're still figuring out. But this great tapestry, the pattern of the grand design, God's celestial story, his celestial story of coming down from heaven and taking the form of a baby in the manger, Christ coming to earth to free Israel, to free the Jews, and to free the world from the grip of the Roman Agrippa, the grip of Rome. There's the Roman Agrippa, and then there's the Greek King Antiochus. You know, obviously the Maccabees were being delivered from the battle for their minds and the battle for their bodies. So there's this battle against mind, the Greeks, because the Greeks always went towards the mind. And the Romans, there is this battle towards a gripping on their spirit and their body as well, too. So it foreshadows this metaphor of a battle over our mind, spirit, soul, and body. We have to keep those things pure. And as we look towards Christ as our light, looking towards the light as the Maccabees did, looking towards Jesus, that light, looking towards him shining in the darkness. So we have to keep the lights burning, like the Maccabees and their Levite ancestors did in the tabernacle day and night. Keep the oil lamps burning at all times. What does that look like for us now, right now? In the world, there's so many things that are looking to snuff out our light. There's many other lights that are seeking for our attention. There's the lights there, and they're strange lights. We have the light of media, the light of politics, the light of economics, the light of just the cares of the world, the light of even family or just social networks. There's so many different lights out there that are competing for our attention, for our flame, for our igniting, our keeping that lamp burning. And really the main lamp that needs to burn, the main lamps the main light that needs to burn, like the Maccabees kept burning, was their lamp in the holy place, their lamp in the tabernacle, their festival of lights, their celebration of being keepers of the light, and also celebrating like the angels did, like the shepherds did, like the Zoroastrianarians did when they followed the patterns of the stars and they went into Bethlehem following that pathway. Jesus, the light of the world. That's really what this is all about. This Christmas Mass is the gift that Jesus is, that he has been throughout all time, throughout all history, through the Old Testament, the intertestament period, and the New Testament. Unto us a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. I'll drink to that. Unto us a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. So the Old Covenant, we had to go through a mediator. The New Covenant, we have Jesus, and we are the temple. We are the house of God. We can interact with heaven, you and I. You and I. We don't need to be special like the Zoroastrianarians were to study the patterns and the times and seasons so we can learn from them. We don't need to be like the Maccabees in that regard. Thankfully, we don't have to fight with swords and weapons in that battle for keeping our worship like they did, but you know, we can learn from their story of keeping the battle going so that we can fight in our spirit in a different way for the light. We don't have to be like the shepherds where we live out in the fields and then we walk into Bethlehem and we see the Savior. We're not in those specific places and those situations, but we can learn from all those situations that we don't need to be in a building or a temple to access the flame and the lamp and the light of God burning within us. We have a light. Every single one of you, put your hand on your heart and just feel that heartbeat. That's the light. That's the true light of the world. That's your spirit that God put, that Jesus put, that Christ put within each one of us. And this celebration of this holiday season really is about celebrating the light, the burning lamp within us. And the Zoroastrianists, to use that topic, as they're looking for Jesus, were dreamers. So that's what we need to be in this time, like the Zoroastrianists, like the Maccabees of the light, you know. We need to be aware of our dreams and what they're saying to us. God sends many signs and wonders in the heavens, in the night season, to call us to a place of action. So throughout the Gospels and the book of Matthew, it says that the Zoroastrianists were warned in a dream not to go back to King Herod Agrippa, the one that says, hey, I too may come to Bethlehem and worship, you know, the baby, you know, the chosen one, the promised one. But the Zoroastrianists, the Magi, they were warned by God in a dream not to go back to Herod Agrippa, not to go back to the politicians, not to go back into that political arena, not to go back into that fight, not to go back into getting caught up in trading their joy and their spirit of the joy of the birth of Christ with that political spirit. They went a different way. They went a different route back to their own country. And that's what we're being called to. I'm not saying stick our head in the sand because we have to live in the world that we live in today, but we shouldn't be looking to the Herod Agrippas, to the King Antiochuses, to the political realm, to the realms of the government of this world for our answers or for giving an account for our light with Jesus. We shouldn't be doing that. We should be focusing in on the light of heaven, the light of Christ. The invitation is for all the heavens that God has created as his pathway to the stars, to himself, Jesus, to the ultimate light above all lights. There's this invitation in the heavens to come up that ladder, that Jacob's ladder, that heavenly ladder, and to say, rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. Unto us a Savior is born this day in Bethlehem, Christ, the city of David. The invitation is in the heavens. And how you notice, dear friends, that how many dreams of the night season were involved in the Christmas story? Dreams and revelations were involved, magi, miracles of oil, all these things, Virgin Mary, you know, like, you know, just had a dream that, you know, Christ would be born to her, even though she was not, you know, with a man or anything like that. But all these different promises, even to Joseph as well, take the child and your wife and flee to Egypt. The magi take fleeing to back to your home country, don't go back the way that you came. That dreams were so intricately involved in the Christmas story. We can have that long-lasting oil that feeds the supernatural light of our spirit, the same oil the Maccabees had as keepers of the light, the same generational God of the I Am, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, to stand before world powers and authorities and fears and powers of darkness and say, I believe in something greater. I believe in a light. I believe in a new day. I believe in a day in the future. I believe with generational perspective advantage that this fight will not be forever, that this darkness cannot last forever, that there is a new day for my children and their children, and that there's a day for me as well. But I will not surrender my free will, my tabernacle, my choice to any other person but God. So as we get into the closing moments, we've got about 10 minutes left here. But, you know, as we get into the closing portions of this, I think it's really important for us to focus on when you feel overwhelmed, it's too big for us and we can't make it. You aren't alone. The lamp, the menorah of the oil, the burning everlasting oil, the light of the Spirit of God and Jesus Christ is with you. With you, wherever you are right now, tuning in the world, Jesus Christ, the light of the world, is with you. This Christmas Mass, this story, the lamp of your spirit can be ignited with the light of heaven. Like the Maccabees and the Zoroastrianarians who keep the light and also seek the star and refuse to obey the edict and the commands of the King Agrippine fears of the Antiochus of the political minds of our day. You don't have to consider it again for a second. There's a cost, but it's worth fighting for. It really is worth fighting for. To stand and say, you know what? I refuse. I refuse to allow my peace. I refuse to allow my joy. I refuse to allow my happiness and my life and my family's life and my home to be invaded by just fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. Christ, the light of the world, casts out all fear. Think about this. Think about Jesus coming to a manger, a lowly manger in Bethlehem, while the height of Rome was at its powers. The height of the Roman occupation was at its powers, and Jesus didn't come into a temple or into the palace. He wasn't born to a mighty military commander. He wasn't born to a line of upper echelon of priests or of dignitaries or politicians. He was born to Mary and Joseph, to a lowly couple in a manger in Bethlehem. And that's where the light of the world chose to make his entrance. That's where the light of the world chose to make his entrance, chose to be able to bring the shifting of the tide. I come back to you now at the turn of the tide. That's famous words of Gandalf, you know, when he came back and shifted the tide for Middle Earth. That's how Jesus did it. I come back to you now at the turn of the tide. You know, the intertestament period is over. The period of the silence is over. The Maccabees had to go through that period. They had to fight that. And maybe full circle, we're going through another period of that ourselves. But there is a day when that period will be over, whether that's in a year, 2 years, 5 years, or 10 years. The lamp of God won't go out in our tabernacle, our body, our mind, or spirit when we allow the light of Christ to come. Just like Yahweh did for the Maccabees, the true gift of Christmas Mass, the true light of the world. That's who God is. He was for the Maccabees. He was for those in Bethlehem, for the Zoroastrianists, for the Gentiles, for the shepherds. God is no distinguisher person. He does not discriminate. All he requires is faith, hope, and love. And light and opening our hearts. So I want to minister to you. I've gone through my history lesson now, gone through why it's important, gone through why it's important for us to look to our higher power, to look to Jesus, to look to Christ in this Christmas Mass. And now I want to minister to you. I want to speak to you. I want to speak to your spirit. I want to uplift us right now and bless you in the season. So fear not. Fear not, that's what the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be for, what is it? All the people. That line right there, it breaks down cultural barriers. It breaks down discrimination. It breaks down racism. It breaks down everything. It will be for all people, for unto you this day is born in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find him wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. And suddenly there was with the multitude, the host of the angel, you know, bless on earth, and heaven, on earth peace, goodwill towards all men. Sorry, I got a little bit tongue-tied there for a minute. Goodwill towards all men, all women, which will be for all people. Do we get it yet? It's for all of us. So I bless you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. I bless you and where you are right now in Canada, in the United States, in Europe, in Asia, in Africa, in Australia, New Zealand, South America, Central America. I don't know where you're tuning in from right now, but I do know that Jesus and the light of the world crosses borders. Mandates and lockdowns can't hold down the light of Jesus. Mandates and restrictions of government powers are but pawns in the hands of God. God is greater than that. So I release a blessing of the light of the world, Jesus, the hope of glory, and the light, the same light that the Maccabees let shining for them, that light that shone in the darkness against the Greek culture, against the Roman culture. I bless your lamp to never go out like that everlasting oil that did not go out for 8 days. I bless your spirit to be enduring and to ever and to last everlasting in the light and the counsel of Jesus. I bless you with dreams and visions, with angels coming to you in the night season, the daytime. I bless you, precious child, precious son, precious daughter of the Most High God, with a revelation of Christ, the light of the world, and you as being keeper of the light, the same light the Maccabees had burning for all those thousands of years before and that they fought for. And I bless you with the light of heaven, Christ, the light of the world. So fear not. Fear not. Keep the light. Fear not. Keep the light. So thank you for tuning in today. And I say to you as we go off the air, fear not, keep the light.
You've been listening to The Truth is Funny, Shift Happens, with Colette Marie Steffen, gracing the airwaves every Wednesdays at 8 a.m. Pacific since 2013. And we're live on Facebook, providing nuggets of wisdom from her book, The Truth is Funny, and three-card consultations from Tales of the Vector Oracle. Colette has poured 14 years of energetic upgrades into this deck, and we can all predict what will happen if you continue in your wanton ways. Check out how you can become an official modern-day dragon sayer by visiting thetruthisfunny.com. Energetic upgrades to lift you, shift you, and power you to ride the wave of infinite potential. You are a blank canvas. May as well paint a rainbow. We'd love to hear from you. Call in next week, 1-800-930-2819.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.